Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
Turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm just going to go straight into the Word. Second Kings chapter 5. Please don't try your best to not get weary in the afternoon services. I'm always pumped coming in. Some of you may be drained coming in, but I'm always pumped coming in because of what I anticipate the Lord to do.
Amen.
So thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Thank you to those of you that saw on Zoom. God bless you. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Starting at verse 1. Now Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." And he sent it to the king. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robe and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." He thought the king was trying to set them up in order to fight him. When Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes and sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be clean. You'll be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hands over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy." Isn't this hilarious? Are not Abana and Pophar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers in Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, do some great thing, would you have done it? How much more then, when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself into the Jordan 7 times, and as the man of God told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is a God in all the world. Sorry, there's no God in all the world except Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry. For your servant will never again make burnt offerings, sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon and to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I have to bow there also. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." Go in peace, Elijah said. Let's pray. Father, we just ask in the name of Jesus that you speak clarity. We ask, God, that you, as you prepare hearts that are here on Zoom, I pray that you would stop those who are distracted. I pray, God, that even those who are listening to this message this coming week, and they're listening to it online, I pray, God, that you'd also speak so clearly that they may hear that you are speaking directly to them. I pray that your spirit, Lord God, would touch the hearts. I pray that the hearts would be hearts of flesh. Not hard hearts, not stubborn hearts, but hearts that are mobile by you. This I pray in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Why don't you just go ahead and pinch or push or squeeze the person beside you? Or teach yourself like yourself, you know. Just throw it somewhere. I know this is the recovery season, and it's approaching, and it's here, and we're in the season of decision. For me, this is always a season of decision. Are we going to repeat the same patterns and do the same things, or are we going to venture to obey the Lord? And so many of you have, and the Lord wanted me to ask you a question this morning, and I'm asking this question knowing that there are those of you that are here in this room, and I'm asking this question knowing that there are those of you that are on Zoom, but I'm also asking this question for those of you that will forward this message to someone, that as they listen, they will be able to ponder this question. See, the Lord wants me to ask you one question. The question is this: isn't it time for a change? Isn't it time for a change? I want you to think about it this morning. Now, I when I became a youth pastor, I grew up in the Church of God, and in the Church of God, people always were responding when you preach, and no matter whether you're preaching good or not, they're always shouting, they're always doing something. And God took me from there and had me as a youth pastor. As a youth pastor, I would speak to youth, and they would not respond. And sometimes I say to them, you know, say amen, like, you know, if you agree with me or whatever, woo-hoo, or something. And so God weaned me off of the response of the people. So I can preach in a complete silent room. That's why even in the office during Zoom, and when I'm in there by myself and I can't hear the response of the people, you still preach because God's word is not going to turn void. And I'm not depending on responses. I'm after the heart. Because God wants to make a change in your life. And Father God loves you.
That's right.
I want to speak this so plain this morning. He loves you. He's shown his love by sending Jesus Christ, his son, to die on the cross for our sins, and then confirming the power of his coming to be raised from the dead. And in John chapter 14, Jesus lets us know that the Father was going to send another comforter, that he was not going to leave us as orphans. He was going to send another helper, Jesus, so that he would ask the Father, and the Father would send us another comforter. And this comforter is Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came. And when we accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And so we move from the reality of the single person, Jesus, who was ministering to the disciples. disciples and teaching and showing you a direction to now the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So the Spirit of Jesus is in all of us, and the Holy Spirit is here to teach us, to guide us, to direct us in the ways of the Lord. He's here. He's living inside of you. He's here speaking to you, teaching you. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes as our comforter. He comes as our guide. And we can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit like the disciples had with Jesus. Hello? We can have the relationship with the Holy Spirit like the disciples had with Jesus. And Jesus taught them different things and showed them different things as he anointed them for different things and sent them out to do different things. We can have that same interaction and relationship with the Holy Spirit because he is the replacement, another of the same kind that has been sent to us. And Jesus said he's going to teach us. He's going to show us. He's going to convict the world. He's going to guide us. He's going to lead us. And that's why when we're on our Christian journey and you need wisdom and or you need direction or you need to know some things about the Father, about heaven, or about the Word of God for it to become clear to you, for you to understand, the Holy Spirit is there to teach us. He's there to guide us. He's there to direct us. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do exactly this. And the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not just a mystic energy. He's not just some smoke going around. He's not a dove. He's a person. He's a part of the Trinity. The Father, there's a Son, and there's a person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit desires for us to have a life that pleases the Father. The Holy Spirit desires, he desires to have a relationship with us. He desires to lead us and to teach us. He desires when we turn our life over to Jesus Christ and we trust in him and his teaching, the Holy Spirit's responsibility is to see that we do everything that pleases the Father. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control, goodness, kindness. But also the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not a bunch of fruits. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit works in us to manifest the fruit all at the same time. He doesn't say, okay, I'm going to work on kindness on you. Now I'm going to work on patience on you. Now I'm going to work on self-control. No. The Holy Spirit is working at all the fruit at the same time. At the same time. He doesn't just work on one. He works on all of them. But we have to surrender to the Holy Spirit. We have to surrender to his leading. And if he's dealing with patience, if he's dealing with kindness, and we're in no particular situation, Holy Spirit will speak to us, but we have to decide if we're going to surrender. If he's saying to you, be patient, stop being aggravated, then you have to surrender to him. Okay, Lord, I'm going to stop being patient. I'm going to start cussing off people who cut me off. I'm going to just be patient in traffic. Like, the Holy Spirit is teaching us, he's showing us, he's guiding us, and he's touching on all of those fruit at the same time. And that's the communication he wants to have with us, but we have to decide if we are going to surrender to him. He wants us to surrender to him. He doesn't want us to fight him on things. He doesn't want us to battle him on things. He doesn't want us questioning him all the time, whining about things to him all the time when he asks us to do simple things of obedience. He wants us to do whatever it takes to please the Father. I know that we are in the habit as humans of having our own way, of doing our own things, to do what we want to do, and to go where we want to go, and to watch what we want to watch, and to be how we want to be. But the Holy Spirit is in us to bring us back in alignment with the Word of God, back in alignment with the Father, and he doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. There's no break that he takes. He continually comes again, and he continually shows us, and he continually hear a worship song, or I preach a message, or in our devotion, but he continually comes, and he continually speaks. Why? Because he's trying to get us to please the Father. Amen. He's trying to get us to be more like Christ. And so his way is the way of love, and he's he's out for us. He wants a relationship with us. And because God is love, the Holy Spirit is love, and he loves us to grow, and he loves for us to be nurtured and to be mature, and he loves us to become who he purposed us to be, and why we were born. He loves us to fulfill the plan of God, the mission of God in our lives. He loves us. He's not out to get us. He's not out to pull a fast one over on us. He's not out to pull the rug out from under us. Holy Spirit within us, and he wants a relationship with us so we can succeed, so we can hear, well done, you good and faithful servant. But it all depends on whether or not we're going to surrender to what he says. If we're going to surrender to what he's leading. So that's what pleases him. So if there's a shortcomings in our lives, the Holy Spirit's going to point it out. And I just think sometimes when I'm talking to people and they're telling me of certain particular things, and I ask them, how's your devotional time? And they're telling me, my devotional time's pretty consistent. And I say, no, something's missing here. Because in my devotional time, I can't get away with anything with the Holy Spirit. I can't. If I say something wrong, my kids and to my wife, or I behave a particular way, or have something in my heart, Holy Spirit is going to bring it up. When I come into the presence of God, he doesn't sit by and say, okay, let this one go. No, he brings it up again. So I can't understand, if I'm spending time with my Heavenly Father, how people get away with stuff. Because he doesn't let me get away with anything. Anything. If I harbor the thought, if I harbor the attitude, if I have the right attitude, he's going to point it out every time, and I have to decide if I'm going to surrender it so he can work on it, so he can show me what to do, so he can bring me to his word. I have to surrender to change my thinking from what I want it to be to what he wants it to be. He's going to point it out. That's why the Holy Spirit spoke to some of us when I spoke about sexual sins. After the Holy Spirit spoke to you about your adultery, about your lust, about your premarital sex, about the habits of pornography and sexual fantasies. That's why the Holy Spirit surfaced of the areas of bitterness that you've been dealing with. Why? Because he wants to set you free. He doesn't want to leave you there. He doesn't want to leave you messing in that mud all over again and picking it up and picking it up again and again. No, he's going to point it out. This is for you.
Yes.
He's not finished with us. And he's never going to be finished with us until the day we die. I've heard some people say, talking about when they died and they came back to life, that even while they were dying, Holy Spirit was speaking to them. Convicting them and asking them to repent. See, he'll speak to us about our lying. He'll speak to us about our attitude. He'll speak to us about hypocrisy. He'll speak to us about our love for money. He'll speak to us about the love that we have for this world. And he will continue to point us to Jesus Christ and his teachings. He'll continue to point us to the way of freedom, the abundant life that Jesus has for us. And the Holy Spirit will continue to lead us and direct us in the way of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And he will continue to bring us back into a lifestyle of the scriptures, and continue to bring us back because he loves us and he refuses to leave us or forsake us because we're children of God. We're his children, and he continues to pursue us because he loves us. We have to decide whether we want to be led by the Holy Spirit or if we want to resist. We have to decide whether we want to follow his way. So I ask you the question this morning, isn't it time for a change? Isn't it time for us to let go of the fight, stop pulling on the rope, and allow Holy Spirit to have us? Haven't we tried again and again and again to do it on our own, and it hasn't worked, but yet we still resist? Isn't it time? Isn't it time for a change?
Yes.
Isn't it time to step out of that brokenness? Isn't it time to come out of your pain? Isn't it time to let go of the hurt? Isn't it time to be free of the strongholds and the curses the failed relationship, the habits, and the lifestyle, and the fear, isn't it time? Because you can continue to go through life holding on to all these things and having these things hold on to you and pretend that everything is okay, but you know it's not okay. It's not okay. God knows it's not okay. You know it's not okay. And if you want to be a conqueror, if you want to be an overcomer, then these things, you have to decide if you're going to let go of them. If you want to jump on the conquering power of Jesus Christ, the overpowering power of Jesus Christ, then you have to decide you want to be a conqueror also. Also, you want to be an overcomer, because the Word of God says that we are overcomers through Him before we die. In this life, we have to decide.
That's right.
Do we want to change, or are we going to stay the same? Isn't it time, though? We put it off for years and for years. We go around the bend again. We watch things that get successful and fail, and we've gone through the motions. Isn't it time we hold out for a real change, lasting change? Well, a couple things. If we want change, we have to desire it. If you want change, we have to desire it. You have to want to change. Look, when you think of your family's history, when you think of your marriage, when you think of the destructive habits, when you think of the unforgiveness, when you think of the bitterness, and when you think of the abuse, and you think of the anger, when you think of the drugs, and you think of the unclean feeling, and you think of the emptiness, and you think of the deep hurt, and you think of the hatred, and you think of the lying, and you think of the isolation, and you think of the broken relationship and the broken family, is something inside of you telling you that it can be different? Is there something inside of you telling you that my marriage can be different, my thinking can be different, my life can be different? Or is there something telling you that this is the way it's always going to be? And if there's a voice telling you that this is the way it's always going to be, that is a lie from the pit of hell. The lie. You have to decide if you want the change. You have to decide that some of these things aren't God's plan for you. Change requires surrender. Change requires surrender. Surrendering of your pride and your finances and your brokenness and your family and your plans and your desires and your will. And our Father, God, will be with us as we go through the change. Jesus Christ will strengthen us. The Holy Spirit will guide us once we decide to surrender. We've got to surrender. There's no shortcut to it. There's no easy way to it. We have to surrender. You have to want it. You have to want it to stop. You have to want to start. You have to want it. With your own will, choose. For me, it was the vision of my future became greater than my present brokenness. When God showed me where He was taking me and the people that would come to know Him, people who are in their brokenness and know that there was a message of freedom in Jesus Christ, then they weren't going to be judged. When God showed me that, it became greater than the brokenness, than the lust and the perversion, the pornography. Became greater than the mud that I was in and the mess that I was in. It became greater. It became greater. So how bad do we want it? How bad do we want to change? How bad do we want to walk in freedom? Because God has a plan for you and for people for you to touch it. And not only to see what your family and your children and your children's children, as we sang this morning, but how bad do you want to change? Do we want to stay where we are? See, God will show you if you ask Him. He'll show you. God will tell you the plans He has for you. He'll tell you. He'll show you. He'll show you the family. He'll show you the ministry. He'll show you the business. He'll show you what it is. But He'll also show you what you need to surrender. Because it's not about being successful, it's about being fruitful. We don't care how successful you are. We don't care how much money you made and what you own. If you're not fruitful, then it amounts to absolutely nothing. I don't care if your name's on the poster. I don't care if your name's on the door or on the building. If you're not fruitful, it hasn't been directed and led by the Lord out of a heart of surrender, then it means nothing. God will show you. He'll show you. He'll tell you what the plans are for your life. He'll direct you if you just ask him. And you wait long enough to hear the answer. Without putting your own little 2 cents in there, wait long enough. Come back again and again until you have the answer of what his plan is for your life. The scripture talks of this man, Naaman, and he has leprosy. He's a commander. He's a great man, a great fighter. He's conquered so many territories, but he has leprosy. You may be a good husband, but you have leprosy. You may be a great wife, but you have leprosy.
Yes.
You may be a great son or daughter, but you have leprosy. You can be a good boyfriend, a good girlfriend, but you have leprosy. You could be a great manager, a great president, a head cook. You could be a mechanic, a teacher, a nurse, a doctor, but you still have leprosy. And everyone knows you have leprosy. And the scripture says that when Naaman heard that there was a possibility of healing, that desire in him started, and he pursued it. Would you tell me I could be free, or tell me that I don't have to live this way, I don't have to carry you, walk around with the smell of this thing? I have to walk around, have to wear certain clothes to cover it up, but I don't have to pretend. I don't have to act like you tell me I could be free. Maybe someone who's listening to this and it's beyond this Sunday, you're listening to this message because and they've sent you this message because they love you, because they care about you. God has been trying to get your attention. God has been trying to speak clearly to you, and I want you to stop whatever you're doing. I want you to stop so that there's no interruptions. I want you to stop running. Stop what you're doing and listen to what God is saying to you, because he loves you and he cares for you. And the question is, isn't it time for a change? Isn't it time to get rid of the leprosy? Isn't it time to finally be over the stench of that smell, the rotten flesh, and the spots, and the isolation, and the secrecy? Isn't it time? Well, not only do we have to desire it, but if we want to change, we have to follow what the Holy Spirit says. We have to follow what he says. Naaman was told to go to Elisha's house. So you got all of his belongings, and you got some horses and some chariots, and you know, so big and boasty, looking like he's so important, with some gold and some silver and some clothing. I wonder what those clothing look like. And he kind of looks so important, and he sets off for Samaria. And when he got there with his entourage, a prophet said to tell him, "Yo, come to my house." And he shows up at Elijah's house, and he's all ready for the big introduction. He's all ready for the trumpet to sound, and for the man of God to walk out with his white robe and his cane and maybe the halo around his head. And Elijah doesn't even move. He sits at the table eating his breakfast in the morning. He says to his servant, "Yeah, go tell him. Just go tell him to go to the Jordan River and wash 7 times. I could just hear it when the servant came and told Naaman that he should go to the Jordan River and wash. Could you hear it? If you're West Indian, you can hear it.
Yes.
You just hear it in the spirit. I could just hear it. just brushing it off his hand. This man think he is? Does he not know who I am? Come on, I'm an important guy. I've conquered places. And I've won battles. And he can't even come to me himself? What a rude man. Forget this nonsense. The Bible says he left in a rage. I must be joking. Rude. Out of order. Has no manners. Look how important I am. Look what I've gone through. It's just simple leprosy, but come on. He should come and with his robe flowing and come and wave his hand over that spot. Do a little dance, do a little prayer, sprinkle a little something.
Yes.
Do something that looks important. Do something that makes me feel that you've done something that's worth my journey. We tend to want to be angry with God because he's telling us. And what he's telling us is not what we want, not what we thought. Oh my goodness, I've been there. When God speaks, you're just like, God, really? Like Jesus in the garden, is there not another way? Can you not make it look different? Right, so we get in line and the prayer is coming and the pastor's moving and we're watching, we're waiting for him to see our shirt that says, pick me, and they come and they pass over us. And we get upset and we leave. Right, who do they think they are? They're not even fair. Look how long they prayed for that person and they haven't prayed for me that long. Look how long I've been dealing with this. Go and wash. Go and dip yourself in the Jordan. You got to be kidding me. There must be a better way, God. There are better rivers than the Jordan rivers. The cleaner rivers than the Jordan. Like, people wash their clothes. Animals go and they poop in the water and they pee in the water. And people go and bathe themselves. And there are better and cleaner ways to go about this, God. There are better teachings than this teaching. The better churches than this church. Come on, God, there must be a different way. There must be a better way. There must be a better way. God is not about striking you or stroking your ego.
That's right.
He's no respecter of person.
Right.
Come on. And some of you that are listening, you have been thinking about escaping. You've been thinking about, if I could just change the scenario, if I could just change the scenery, if I just change the job or change the relationship, or even change the family, if God allowed it to happen, things will be better. And you say, no, the Jordan is where I want you to watch. The Jordan is where you're going to be set free. The only thing is that we deal with, you have to go deal with. We have to deal with it. And the reality is, no matter how much we try to escape, we come with that deal. We come with it. We can't escape our thinking. We can't escape our thoughts. We can't escape our behavior. No matter where we go, we're still stuck with us.
Yes. Yes.
So make a decision. Because we're thinking that everything will change because we don't have to deal with those people, but we forget that the fact that there's a sin that so easily entangles us and that traps us, that keeps following us. So why not just go wash? Dip yourself in the Jordan. Take the risk. Push your pride aside. But 1 John 2:3-4 says, we know that we have come to know him because we obey his commandments. Then he says this, the man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. For all of us who say, we know God, we have a relationship with him, but he keeps speaking to us, he keeps telling us what to do, but we're in disobedience. He says, no, wait, guys, you don't know him. You know of him. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, when he had the encounter with Jesus Christ, Jesus told him, go to Damascus, go to Jesus' house on the straight street, and sit there until I tell you what to do. What did Paul do? He went. The Holy Spirit is speaking, but are we listening? Are you following what he's telling you to do? James 1, verse 22 says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves, and we begin to act and pretend that we are following what the Lord has asked us to do. And things around us are in chaos, and it's all because we haven't surrendered. We haven't surrendered. So you have to desire it. You have to ask the Holy Spirit. The third thing, it says we have to follow exactly what the Holy Spirit says. Did seven times. Do you want to be free? Do you want to get rid of the junk in your life? That leprosy that has been growing and now it smells, and now your family members caught it, and now your kids have caught it, and your grandkids have caught it. Do you want to be free? Stop being stubborn and go and wash yourself seven times. Stop being stubborn and go dip seven times. Dip seven times. Can you imagine the look on Naaman's face as he started to dip in the water? So disgusted, so upset after servant said, look, if the man of God told you to do something right, when you do it, why don't you just obey it? To quit your stubbornness, quit your resistance, and you can see him along. He's just going down to the water, making up his face. Oh, this is so horrible. Ooh, look at it. Oh, I feel like I feel my toes. And I gotta watch myself in this. And he could have just done one wash and come out and say, no, that's good enough. I can't stay there. But he washed seven times. He washed seven times. He washed seven times in the water that he thought was so unclean. He washed seven times. Didn't matter what his attitude was, he washed seven times. Just wash already. Just start washing already. Stop complaining. Stop making up your face. God, we're trying to get your attention. Just start washing. Obey what he's told you to do. Just start. He'll fix your attitude, but just start. He'll change everything, but just start. And don't stop until you've done it seven times. And I don't know what your number is. My number was way past seven. I dipped and dipped and dipped and dipped and dipped and dipped and dipped. And dipped and kept coming up and looking at it, still there. And dipped and dipped and kept coming up looking at it, still there. And dipped and dipped and dipped. And I kept dipping and dipping and dipping and kept coming up. And the leprosy is still there. And I kept dipping and dipping and dipping, still expecting to see something different. But I kept dipping and dipping and dipping until I came up and it was clean.
Yes.
We can't stop dipping until we're clean. We can't. And stop. And so if you've gone and the healing was just a little bit, then you go back again. If you've gone and you touched on something, then you go back again. If you've gone a little bit was healed, then you go back again until you get to the point until it is no longer there. But we have to obey exactly what the Holy Spirit says. And God is waiting for us. He's waiting for us to just wash. Wash seven times. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for you. He's waiting. Your family's waiting for you. Your church is waiting for you. Your kids are waiting for you. Your grandkids are waiting for you to just wash. Can we not just get rid of the pride and just wash? Are we so concerned what everybody's going to say about the fact that we washed in the Jordan River? Can we not just wash? Do not just wash. Do not just wash. Stop standing on the shore, looking at the water. You got to get in. You got to get in. You got to stop making excuses. You got to get in. You can't go back. You got to figure out other ways because there's more that God wants to do. There's more healing that I need. Even this summer, I was doing this course on deliverance, and at the end of it, they said they're going to do deliverance, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, I want you to be part of that. Oh, my word. What if they get something out of me? The Holy Spirit says, no, stay for that session. And I stayed in that session, and God began to deliver me.
Yes.
This is after years of thinking, man, God, this is in the past, and I'm free of that, and this is gone. All of a sudden, God began to do a new deliverance in me. And I was done. I felt so different. I felt so free. I felt so light. I couldn't even walk. And I was like, God, I didn't know this stuff was there. God, I didn't even know there was more that you wanted to do. You see, I have to keep dipping. Even as a pastor, I have to dip. Even as elderly, we have to dip. Husbands and wives, we have to dip. If things aren't right, then you have to dip. If something's right with your mind, then keep dipping. If it's not right with your heart, then keep dipping. If it's not right with your body, then keep dipping. If it's not right with your family, then keep dipping. Just keep dipping, just keep dipping. And years may have passed, but keep dipping. And don't stop dipping. So you come up clean. So you come up clean. But nothing is going to change until you finish all 7 washes. Nothing's going to change, church. Nothing's going to change. There's still more work to be done. I remember one time going to my mentor, Larry Lee, and I went to him and said, you know, Larry, I just found this heavy temptation, and I feel this pull, you know what I mean, and these thoughts, and he said to me, you know, that just means that the Holy Spirit has more work to be done. Are you kidding me? After all the years and the conferences and the prayers over me and the feedback, like there's still more work to be done. Are you going to surrender? Because nothing changes until all 7 times.
Yes.
When we have surrendered, we've done exactly what the Holy Spirit asks us to do, we'll realize that He can be trusted. We'll realize that He can be trusted, that really is not going to leave us, that He really does heal, that He really does deliver, that He really does set us free, that He really does give us peace. We realize that He really is who He says He is, that He would walk with us through all the valleys, through all the darkness, that He's going to be there and He's going to bring us into His marvelous light. And we will then know what true praise is. The true peace is, what the true faithfulness of God is. And just like David, now you know we want to worship to the point where we're going to go in the temple of the idol. God, we're begging for forgiveness before it even happens. His heart has changed. His mind has changed. And praise comes from a place of freedom. Because then you don't question God. And you know that God's good, and you know that God will take you through because He's done it before, He's going to do it again. So we have to ask ourselves the question, is it not time to change? So we're going to end a prayer this morning, this afternoon, and you're going to pray right where you are. There's no need coming up. You're going to pray where you are, but I want you to start now just by asking the Father to show you His plan for your life. Now, don't force your own plan in there. Don't try to think about what you already have planned and how you're going to squeeze that into a God. No, just abandon everything and say, God, show me what your plan is for my life. And see what He shows you. See where He's taking you. He's not asking for your opinion. He's not asking for you to question it. Just let Him show you. Just let Him show you. Let Him show you. What does the marriage look like? What does your health look like? What does your mind look like? Who are you sharing it with? Where are you going? Who's to be blessed? Now I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to surface. Say, Holy Spirit, surface the things in my life that I need to surrender. Just ask Him. Surface the things in my life that I need to surrender. And while you're sitting there, I want you to make a commitment to surrender as long as it takes to surrender. As long as it takes to be free. As long as it takes to wash again and again. To make a commitment that you're going to surrender to the Holy Spirit, to His presence, and to His will. And once you've done that, you made a commitment for that, I want you to ask the Father to show you what to do next. What to do next? What does He want you to do? What does He want you to do? What does He want you to do? Not what you want to do, but what does He want you to do? And it may seem so simple. It may seem so fragile and immature to you. It may seem like a waste of time. But be committed to do what the Lord has asked you to do. If it's to dip 7 times, then decide you're going to dip. Whatever it is, if He tells you to go wash, then you're going to go wash. Jesus. Father, this morning, this afternoon, on Zoom, here in this room, and even those who are listening, online, Father, You've spoken. You made it clear. You're pursuing. You're pursuing. You have so much more.